It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Browns were off this week. Bye week, Andy. There you go, that little rest.
Yes.
Now they get back to it. The New Orleans Saints, the opponent coming up on Sunday. But with the Browns sitting out, lots of things were going on around the National Football League this weekend. Here to sum them all up with NFL Rapid Fire, our pal Dan Menigan.
All right, gentlemen. I have a choose-your-own-adventure for you. Do we want to start with a really deep question? Or do we want to end with a really deep question?
Let's start with it. Let's start. Let's
go. Sure, why not?
Yeah. All right. So it seems like lately, a lot of people are complaining about the games themselves when they find their way onto either Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, those kind of things.
You mean the quality of the actual game?
I'm getting there.
No, I was wondering. You said complaining. I'm sorry.
There's presentation to this.
I was looking for clarity. I guess it's coming.
You are going to get clarity, my friend.
Good.
So, the overall quality of the games themselves, sloppy tackling, not enough scoring, ugliness in the general NFL game. There's a theory that's being floated around.
I know what this is. I'll bet.
That the red zone is the reason why people are complaining more about the NFL and the overall quality of the game itself. That with having a channel that is nothing but touchdowns and occasional big plays and all that stuff, that it is causing people to not pay attention to the fact that those are the seldom plays in the NFL, and the ground game, the five-yard gains, the six-yard gains, the sacks, all of that kind of stuff are more commonplace than those. Do you gentlemen believe this theory? Andy Baskin, I begin with you.
No, I'm not buying that for a minute. That NFL Red Zone channel is the reason why football is bad?
Well, that people are complaining that football is bad.
Well, if any complaint they should make, it's there wasn't that Andrew Siciliano's not on there anymore. I'm just going to be honest, man. Love that guy. I thought he was great on that. But you know what? We win because now he's doing the Browns game. So a TV channel is the reason why the games aren't good. I find that extremely difficult to believe. And to be honest, I don't know that, maybe because I just don't watch it enough. I mean, sometimes I'll sit, and when we're on home games, I'll sit at the press box, and they've got like eight monitors up at one point, and you can watch every game at once. But I still find myself distracted from my real goal, and that's to watch the Browns. So, no, I just think that's silly.
Hogwash, it's not the case at all.
Okay.
Hogwash.
That's your answer for that big, deep question?
Yeah.
Hogwash?
Yeah, I don't think a television product is the reason that the NFL is. If you want to go into, you're not playing guys in the preseason, you're not practicing tackling, you're not doing stuff like that that
I'll
you
buy
used
that.
To do.
Yeah.
I think that's a more legit thing than a television network.
And let's face it, there's a lot more teams now than when we were kids, right? I mean,
rosters.
Yeah, is the product.
Which means guys who were
down?
Selling shoes are now playing in the NFL.
Let me fire that question back at you. Are there too many teams in the NFL? And is that why the quality isn't?
I thought you ran red
should
zone.
Be. I don't care. I'm firing it back at him.
The red zone thing, I think you're on to something. I honestly think it might be a perception thing for people themselves of you're just so used to seeing this over and over again in this over stimulus overload. I don't know if that's the way to put it, but like basically just like this perpetual seeing of touchdowns that when you get away from the red zone and watch a game, you're like, oh yeah, this does move slower than just perpetually jumping games all over the place and seeing touchdowns. I wonder if there is something to that. I wonder if that's us as a society as well, that, you know, we've become so close to having everything right at our fingertips that we can see whatever highlight we want when we want, that now watching the things before the highlights have become boring. I wonder if there's something to that.
No? I say no.
Okay.
I say no to.
All right, back to the normal nonsense. Guys, God needs to watch his football team in Dallas, and Jerry Jones is all grumpy because he put that window up there so that God could watch his football team. And now all of a sudden, guys are missing passes over the middle, and CeeDee Lamb is saying they need to put a curtain up there, and all sorts of different things are happening. Jura went on his usual show that
105.3 The Fan, is that what it is?
Whatever, yeah. Where he talks to his lackeys down in Dallas and then yells at them for not being lackeys enough. And basically is now saying, no, the stadium is fine as it is. Guys, do we need to put a curtain up? Does God need to not be able to watch his football team as often as he should because guys need to catch passes?
Okay, so let's just get this straight, though. The Sun, like CeeDee Lamb was complaining about this. What he's complaining about is the windows that are in the end zone that allow light in. He's not talking about that little retractable thing that's on the top where they say that God watches their games like they did at the old stadium. And by the way, so there, I've noticed this before, like sometimes at Nationwide Arena, they have windows up kind of high too that lets natural light in. I always think it's cool at night. Sometimes you can see the stars through if you're watching a hockey game there. Aww. But, and by the way, in Texas, maybe that's what they're trying to do. The stars at night, we know, are big and bright. Where? Thank you. Deep in the heart of Texas. My point, though, is if you watch the game on Sunday, you too know that those windows can be a hazard. Now, maybe it's worse because of the time change. They do change the time in Dallas, don't they, send your Texas resident?
Indubitably yes. So.
So I think CeeDee Lamb is right that it's okay to have those windows there, but if you're going to play a late afternoon game where you know the sun is going to set on those windows and you could be, you know, like blinding the receivers in the end zone, yes, put curtains up. It's not that hard. Not a big deal at all. So I think CeeDee Lamb is right, and I think for as much money as they have inside that stadium, what are curtains going to cost them to make sure that we have a clean game? Yes, curtains for AT&T Stadium, curtains now, I say. Paid for by curtains for AT&T Stadium.
If the guy you're throwing the ball to can't see the ball because the sun is right in his face because you have windows at the level they shouldn't be, yeah. Put some kind of a shade on them and cover them up and let's play football.
Does Minnesota have this problem? I can't remember. Minnesota doesn't. I've never heard this problem in Minnesota. Have you?
No. Got me.
I mean, we never heard about it in Indy either.
Yeah, I don't know where the windows are in Indy. If they're high enough, it shouldn't matter. But, those are pretty low. Like, the windows there are essentially here. The windows in the end zone would be, like, below the second deck, I think, in Cleveland. Because I'm looking at a picture of it right now. It's even to the second deck.
CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jones should worry about who's throwing the ball more so than anything with Dak out.
Yeah, by the way, it is kind of cute that looks like Kenston's high school field that they play on every week. Only high school in America that's allowed to use
schedule.
The Dallas Cowboys star, Kenston High School.
That's great.
On loan for the Jeff Thomas Collection. All right, moving around to the rest of it. Roger Goodell had a conversation this week as the NFL was in Munich. A game that really should have probably stayed in Munich between the Panthers and the Giants, which was ugly. And if you woke up for that one, I worry about you. He then, though, spoke that.
Thank you for your concern.
He then spoke about next year's international game, saying, quote, "We are definitely going to Spain. We announced that one." He told Colleen Wolf of NFL Game Day Kickoff, "We expect to return to Mexico City. We expect to return to Brazil. We will certainly be back in the UK. And we are also looking at the potential of another game in the UK area in Ireland, possibly. That is a possibility. We will be back here in Germany. So if that's total is 8, and that's what we are shooting for, Berlin has also put in for an NFL game as well." So, guys, we're going to be up to 8 international games next year, according to the commissioner. This is inevitable, right? It's just inevitable at this point.
Do you guys like these?
No.
I'm not crazy about them either.
They have zero impact if they're teams you don't care about. You know, like, you're not waking up early to watch some of these teams play.
I actually am, but...
Oh, well. Are most people, unless you're betting on it?
If I'm up, I'm turning them on, and it's not getting up that early. The game starts at 9:30.
It's like one of those, it's an impulse buy at the grocery store, because you're like, oh, I forgot to get batteries. And so when you wake up on Sunday morning and you see a game on, you're like, oh, batteries. I forget the games are on, I'll be honest. Until it becomes just the norm,
yeah.
I just don't see it. It's just.
We know what the NFL is doing, and it's about making money and expanding the brand and everything else, and eventually probably leading to some type of an international team or division or whatever. I think logistically an international team would be very challenging. And okay, if you want to spread the brand, I get it, kind of. So we get to hear the German folks sing "Take Me Home, Country Roads." That's always fun.
I don't know. I think they should redo the original Coliseum and play some games there. Yeah, the bricks might get in the way, but you know what? Who knows? I'd love to see them play games in Italy. I think that'd be awesome.
Well, now all of a sudden you like the games?
Yeah, now you're adding more.
I never said I didn't like them. I do like them. I've never once said I don't mind these games. They just don't have an impact on me. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Do you mind the games?
I can't stand them. I think they're sloppy games. I think they are self-serving for the NFL.
It's tough on the teams.
It's self-serving for the NFL and only the NFL.
Can we say this? Would you have any problem with them playing in Mexico or Canada? Any problems with that? None. Because they can play those games in our time zones. Real? Why?
Only one I wouldn't have a problem with is the Bills playing a game in Toronto because it's kind of their market.
Oh, and the Seahawks can't play in Vancouver? You're too good for Vancouver? Oh, I see what you're saying.
Vancouver's gorgeous.
Yes, it is.
That is gorgeous. It's a really cool city.
How about Calgary? Calgary couldn't take a Broncos game? I mean, yeah, I know it's not exactly close, but why wouldn't you give Calgary a game? And,
I think if you have a team that's your name Denver, you should play in Denver. I don't know. I'm just not a huge fan of the international games.
They're going to do it. Do it now. But as you go to 18 games, so there's like the impact is zero. If you do it now, you're not taking away a home game if you do that.
You're making everybody
play an international game.
It is such a blatant cash grab. That's always been my problem with it.
That's really true.
It is an inconvenient for all of your fans, except for the ones who are living over there, who the majority of them, if you're trying to get non-expats, is a bit of an ass to begin with. And you're just basically going, hey, we want to get more money. Where can we get more money?
And it's another 4 hours of television product.
And it makes your actual fans that are paying attention to these things, A, lose a home game, and B, have to renegotiate their entire day around it so that they can watch their team.
So let's just for the record, Bronzebackers Worldwide has Bronzebackers of Germany.
Heck yeah.
Bronzebackers of Central Germany.
Of course.
German Bronzebackers, and those are just to name a few.
Yeah. Great. That's fine.
How about letting them play?
To put together your own team and go play there.
Put together a travel thing and bring them here.
But they want to be Browns fans.
Yeah, well, that's good. Great.
Let them come to Cleveland.
Fly into Toronto. Drive your way down here. Save some dough.
I don't know. I find your regionality boring. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Who cares if they play one game a year? I don't care. As long as they do.
They don't. They're playing 8 or 9.
But it's to your team. So what I'm saying is every team should have to play once. Do it now when you expand to 18 so you don't feel the impact and you don't feel like you're getting robbed of a home game. That's my point. One team needs to be designated the home team in these cities, but it is what it is, and it is inevitable that we are going to get games around the world if the financial backing is there.
Okay.
Just telling you the truth, bro.
All right. There you go. Andy's fired up about college football. Dan's fired up about college football. And you know what? For very good reason. Robert is actually calling us from the site of international football games in the NFL, London, England.
Yes, I am. More specifically, certain street in London, England. I had a call from Dan. If you could take a look at your social media mentions after you named the sponsor, of course. But Monday, Dan.
Is this Robert in Brecksville?
Yeah, it's Robert in Brecksville, who's currently in London, who likes to produce the show while he's calling us, yes.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
There is a street just north of Heathrow named Phelps Way, and I had to walk down it and call you guys for it just because it's named after Phelps.
And then we suddenly started talking about international
football. Thank you, Robert.
Yeah, no, but because also as an scapegoat, because I'm like, yeah, give me a game in Rome, whatever. I don't care. It'll just be another excuse for me to come over here. Yes, they're a very interesting dance. I'm not quite sure, respectfully, what you're talking about. But, yeah, they're very, very nice. They're very popular. There's a guy I know that works at a restaurant, one of the popular restaurants in central London, who said he's been to every single game except for, I think, like one international game in the UK, regardless of whether it's Wembley or Tottenham or whatever.
Nice.
So they're actually quite popular over here for the locals.
When are you coming home?
I'll land Wednesday. I got you guys some stuff. If I don't drop it off Thursday at the station, I'll drop it off next week.
Dude, do not try to bring fish and chips back. Just whatever you do.
They won't last.
I did bring some chips, but they're not fish.
Okay.
Robert, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
Can I just
Robert
share this?
Robert in London. Phelps Way.
Can I share this tiny story? Just very tiny. I was just floating through Instagram the other day. They showed a guy that was in London that got hit by a bus.
Oh.
Okay? He gets nicked by a bus.
Nicked or hit?
Hit. He got hit. He hit the bus. He fell over. The bus worked its way back onto the road. The guy got back up, dusted himself off, and walked into the pub.
Well, if he was going to a pub, sure, he had inspiration.
I found that to be interesting. I believe that might be the European version of Dan Menigan.
What is it about college football that you're grooving on this year?
Well, first of all, the 12-team playoff, I think, is awesome. I think you see all these teams that you think are dead, that in the past might have been dead in the water, and now still have a lot of hope to play for the rest of the season. Let's take Notre Dame, for instance, right? Notre Dame loses to what? Northern Illinois in the beginning of the year, and
come on, Huskies.
Let's be honest. Their season's probably done after that if they lose any other games, right? So, I mean, yeah.
Even if they don't lose any other games.
That's a bad loss. So anytime we can get away from, you know, how it looks to determine who makes a playoff, I think is a good thing. I'm also pumped because when you look at the Big Ten right now, four of the top five teams are in the Big Ten. I love the fact that this was brought up during the broadcast the other day when Michigan played Indiana.
There are 35 teams now in the Big Ten, right?
What's the difference? Who cares? Four of the top five teams. You're such a naysayer. So Indiana talked about during the game, they were talking about how they felt like they became a competitive team when the Big Ten went to this multi-platform football television contract that they have with suddenly they're not on ABC anymore, and they're on CBS. They're we're seeing them more on NBC.
They're all over the place.
Big Ten Network.
Fox.
So Fox. I mean, look, Ohio State's on Fox for the rest of the way. All three of their final remaining games are at noon on Fox. And to hear Indiana say, "Look, once we got the new TV contract, we knew we can be competitive. Every school's getting anywhere from." 80 to 100 million a year based on this $7, $8 billion contract that's sitting out there for the next 7 years. I love the fact that Indiana is competitive. I love the fact that.
That's kind of cool, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, look at Ohio State's last three games. They're all unique or competitive. Okay, so this week is unique. They're at Northwestern. They're playing at Wrigley Field. Tell me that there isn't some sort of attraction to that. I think it's kind of cool.
You know what I think is really cool? And the thing that used to bother me about college football was that if you're Ohio State or Michigan in a normal season, you're expected to run the table in the Big Ten until you get to Ohio State or Michigan.
And if you run that table, you used to deserve to go to the Rose Bowl.
And I always hated that. I thought you're in a conference with teams that can't beat you. Now they can. Now the conference is much better. And I think of the old schools in the Big Ten. You mentioned Indiana. Isn't it great that Indiana can actually compete now in football? Wisconsin has had very good football teams. Now Penn State, newer team in the conference, but not like brand new. I mean, that's...
It's funny you say, how long they've been in?
I'll bet 20 years.
At least?
Yeah. It's just, I like the fact that it's competitive. And you know what else I love about it? Is that it's competitive... And losing a game doesn't kill you. That's great.
That's what I like,
too.
That's
the way it should be.
I mean, Ohio State lost one game, and I said this
right after
it
happened. To the number one team in the country.
By one point on the road on a play at the end of the game, you'd be like, oh, if that would have gone the other way, it's a different story.
And in the old system, that drops you to what, 10?
And look where Penn State is now. I mean, Penn State's right there again, too.
And they should be.
And Penn State's probably going to be number three, when this poll comes out. So
I mean, there's a reason, like in the NFL, that no team has been undefeated since the Dolphins.
But here's the other part of it.
And you shouldn't get penalized like crazy for losing a football game.
No.
It means you competed and you played a good team.
But we're also talking about, like, Ole Miss had a huge win over the weekend. Ole Miss is not, Miami lost. They're still in it. Their season isn't over.
That's great.
I like that. You know, Georgia, yep, same too. Thing. But how about this? We're talking about BYU. We're talking about Boise State.
It increases
State.
The chance of good regular season football.
SMU is back. Army is knocking on the door. Army!
Well, SMU had the NIL money in the 1980s.
That's true. They created it. Our forefathers at SMU discovered NIL in a brown paper bag outside of a McDonald's. I just think it's great.
I spent an afternoon in Texas, like scoping out a SMU football player to see what kind of car he was driving.
Oh, that's not true. Did they send you on an investigative story to do that?
Kind of.
So you had to see what kind of a car he was driving?
We kind of knew. We just kind of tried to see it. Didn't work.
What was he driving? Your old car? Your minivan?
No, it was a real fancy sports car.
I don't know. I just like it. I kind of like the... I also like the fact that we're talking about some of these new teams. We're seeing players that have played at other schools that are using the transfer portal to get to bigger schools throughout.
You're seeing good talent at other schools that didn't used to be able to acquire big talent.
Yeah, like I was watching Dustin.
Now they're paying for it like everybody else.
I was watching Dustin and Gerard call a Buffalo game a couple weeks ago. And I'm watching some of the players out there. I'm like, these guys are pretty good. They're not bad players.
Khalil Mack, baby.
If they get another opportunity, they may jump into a bigger team somewhere down the road, which now...
Is a good pay raise.
Yeah, well, it's a good pay raise. But I also wonder, I mean, we look at the negative. Like, the part of the negative is the Jeremiah Smiths of the world are just... I just don't see them existing much longer in this format. I mean, but if you're an amazing freshman that could play at a gigantic school right away, then that's going to happen. But I just feel like those numbers are going to get smaller and smaller, where we have amazing guys in high school, but they're going to end up playing Mid-American Conference football. They're going to play at the subdivision level. They're going to play for Youngstown State. Who knows? They might be going to Mount Union first and then going somewhere else, or John Carroll or Baldwin Wall or any of those schools where they can be young, play, get the experience, and then maybe jump to the next level. If you can embrace it, it's cool. If you fall in love with the fact that you got to play somewhere for 4 years, you're going to hate it. You're going to hate it. So I love it, and I like the way things are going right now. I think it's fun.
I do too, and I think it's a much better overall game
than it used to be. Playing these silly games about money anymore. Hey, guys are getting paid. Everyone knows it now. And guess what? Maybe some of that money kicks back to us because now they're paying into taxes on it rather than getting bags of cash. That's going untaxed.
Okay.
I mean, you laugh at that. That was the goal. If you were to get the people in charge, Mark Emmert at the time, everybody else, to sit down in a play in somewhere and get a couple drinks at them, and ask them, "Hey, what was the goal of getting NIL?" It would be like, "Dude, if we get 60% of this above the table, 65% of this above the table, we're feeling great. This is what we want." And on top of that one, now all of a sudden the whole month of November, oh my gosh, you can't take a weekend off of college football. There are like unbelievable games every single weekend.
Yeah. November football got a lot better.
Isn't it nice though, guys? I mean, seriously, now, you're seeing really competitive games. Teams aren't shying away from playing other teams that are pretty good because the new system will not kill them.
Well, and it's what they wanted.
Yes.
The SEC came in and said, we need to play more division games. Great. Yes, you should. You guys should all be beating up on each other. The Big Ten, play more division games because you guys should all be beating up on each other too. These should be unbelievable football games. Like this weekend, number 7 Tennessee is going to take on number 3 Georgia. You're telling me that's not must-see TV? That's going to be awesome. That's a great game.
Anthony's in Cleveland. Anthony, we got about 45 seconds here, bud.
Hey, guys. So I was just saying that I was talking to my uncle the other day about NIL and how it's made it in one aspect. I'm sure you can find pros and cons about it, but the pro side of it is that it has spread out the talent pool And you will start to see schools like Indiana compete. And we'll just stick to the Big Ten. But like Indiana, hopefully Minnesota can get some guys. And again, I'm with you, Jeff. I always thought, like, man, the rest of the conference is so bad, it's almost not worth watching until you get to Michigan. And me being a big Ohio State fan, I hated that, but it's great for these kids to be able to go to different schools and not have to worry about sitting behind somebody for 3 years just because that school wanted to stockpile talent. They can go somewhere else and play right away, and that's making the game better as far as more competition with other schools. And there's a kid from SMU, I don't know his name, but number 13. That dude reminds me of Deebo Samuels. If I could remember his name, I would.
Big body, physical wide receiver, Anthony?
Roderick Daniels?
Yeah.
There you go. Anthony, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate that. The Cavaliers.
I knew that off the top of my head, by the way, in case you guys are wondering.
Have 12 wins and no losses, folks. Number one team in the NBA. Playing great ball. Haven't lost yet. Why? And what do I love about it? I'll explain next on Baskin and Phelps. Like this for several reasons in particular. Okay? The best thing about this to me, and to me, this is just kind of a kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Atkinson is doing things that last year people said you couldn't do.
Like what?
And this is why I love it. And we sat here last year on this show, and we had so many people tell us you can't do a couple of things. Number one, you can't play two big guys together if they don't shoot threes. We heard that over and over and over again. And I kept saying, silly. Of course you can. You just have to coach
it up. Hogwash, Jeff. Hogwash.
There is a perfect word. Where'd that one come from?
You.
The other thing, and I give him credit for this, Kenny Atkinson. The type of basketball that he has these guys playing is conducive to using more players, and he is. He's playing a 10-man rotation. He has 10 guys averaging at least 16 minutes a game, and he has nobody averaging more than 30.7 minutes per game. So, I mean, not only have all of the offensive numbers been up, he's been doing it by playing more guys and playing them fewer minutes, which if you look at the big picture in the NBA, Andy, if you can keep your star players from playing 34 to 38 minutes a game, why wouldn't you? And he's doing that while winning. And so I love those two things about this team. Those are my two favorite things, first and foremost, is that you're playing two bigs who don't shoot threes at the same time, and by golly, take that, everybody who said you couldn't do it. Because he is,
you
and
are
it's
taking
working.
You're taking a victory lap on this big time.
No, I'm not. I just thought it was ludicrous that people said, well, you got to trade one of these guys. You can't play them both. You got to trade them because they don't shoot threes. You have to shoot threes. No, you don't. You have to coach it up.
I don't disagree with anything you're saying.
I know you don't. You never did.
No, and last year I thought you were right. I'm like, I don't know. Why can't you have two big guys? Why can't you have the only thing that I questioned was the size of your guards. And it felt
which could still be an issue when you get to playoff time.
Okay, but it's like the duplication of assets doesn't seem to be the same right now.
But they're moving.
Rather than being a conflict, it's complementary now.
You know why?
No, why?
Because he's coaching it up.
Because they're moving the basketball.
Thank you, Andy. You don't have, if Donovan has the ball, Darius isn't just spotting up and standing there. And when Darius has the ball, Donovan's not just spotting up and standing there. Kenny Atkinson has them moving, has the ball moving, and this is what happens when you have good players and you play the game what I think is the right way.
Here's another fun fact about the Cavs.
All right.
Evan Mobley doesn't seem to be standing in the corner anymore. He seems to be aggressive. He seems to be in the play. I see him in the paint. He's making shots. Like, he took one shot yesterday. I was like, oh, I ain't taking that three. But I'm okay with it. I lived with it because they were able to kind of move forward. He took one really kind of ugly three-pointer yesterday. He looks bigger. He's playing more aggressive. Somebody got the cat a cheeseburger. That's what I'm saying.
The cat.
I mean, come on. Again, it's Mitchell, it's Mobley, it's Garland. It's Mitchell, it's Mobley, it's Garland, and you can throw in an occasional Wade in there if you're looking for a leading scorer. But every night, it's somebody different. Look at the last six games.
Kind
Mitchell,
of.
Mobley, Garland. Mitchell, Garland, Mitchell, Garland, Mobley.
You've had three guys who have been your leading scorers.
Okay, but there's different guys.
Well, that is good. Mitchell.
It's not like the good old days where it was James.
Right. Well, but that's a different cat.
It's a different style.
No, that's a different guy.
It's a different vibe.
That's a different guy.
Click.
Mitchell's been the leading scorer in four games this year.
Tell me, bro.
Garland's been the leading scorer in four games this year. Mobley's been the leading scorer in three games this year, and Dean Wade had one game where he was the leading scorer. I think that's really good. There's something else here, and this to me, this is telling, and this is not a condemnation of JB Bickerstaff, because JB did a very good job here, and they got better every year. I mean, look at the playoff success, and you know, you might not say they didn't win at all, no, but they took a step every year, and that's good. Here's the thing to me. This might surprise you, too. The Cavaliers scoring this year, right now, they are the highest scoring team in the NBA. They are first in field goal percentage at 52%. They're first in three-point percentage at 41.3%. I don't think they're a great three-point shooting team. But right now, they're first in three-point percentage. So, you know, take that one. But they're first in points, shooting percentage, three-point percentage. Their scoring this year as opposed to last year, Andy, is up 9.8 points per game.
Mm.
So it's 10 points per game. They're scoring 10 points more per game. They're at 122.4. How many more shots per game are they taking this year as opposed to last year?
You told me the answer, so I will not give it away. I'm not going to pull the curtain back. You tell them.
0.9. They're taking fewer than one more shot per game this year and yet scoring 10 more points per game. And their shooting percentages are way up. Last season, they were 15th in three-point percentage and they were 8th in or 12th in field goal percentage. What does that scream? It screams this. You're scoring 10 more points per game yet taking only one more shot per game. Why? Because you're moving the basketball and you are getting better shots. That's it. You're playing an offense that allows you to get better shots. It's that simple. You're not taking more. You're taking one more per game. One more shot as a team per game. You're getting better looks. You're getting better shots. You're getting more open shots. You're getting higher percentage shots. And that's a credit to what Kenny Atkinson is doing right now.
So did you see what Steve Kerr said? He had a quote that was in The Athletic. I don't know if it was from a press conference or not. He said that what Kenny's doing, Steve Kerr said this, I feel like they just beat us with what we've beaten teams with for years. Just the ball movement, guys flying around. They're so intentional about the extra pass. That's a staple for us, the drive, kick, swing, and what we've preached for years, and they diced us up with it.
They destroyed Golden State.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, what were they up, 40 points? I mean, it was silly. Desmond is in New York.
Desmond.
Hello, Des.
Yo. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Mm-hmm. Cavs are looking good. Mm-hmm. So what they've done here is guarantee themselves, like, at least in the high 50s, regular season wins, you know, by doing this. You know, all they have to do
Desmond,
is
Desmond, that's really fair, by the way. Yeah. That's a really fair way to look at it.
Yeah. You know, I like what they've done. I like how Mobley's been a little better this year. He's taken a step, which you've been waiting for a long time. The problem is, I just don't think this is a playoff roster that can handle most teams like the Celtics or the Knicks in a seven-game series in the playoffs. They're going to have to do something at the deadline. If they don't, they're cooked. I love Atkinson. You know, I don't love him because I have personal connection with him. I know him. I know the family. But he's the perfect guy for this team. And they set themselves up really nice, but they're not beating the Knicks or the Celtics in a seven-game series in the playoffs with this roster. They're going to have to add somebody. You agree with me, Jeff?
Desmond, I do.
Des doesn't care what I think. Just Jeff.
No,
Jeff, what do you think?
I think Desmond, every point he just made, I think, is Very fair.
But they could even finish with the number one seed still. I mean, because the way this winning streak is ridiculous. I mean, like, they're probably going to, out of the first 20 games, they're going to win at least 16 games. You know?
It's silly, isn't it, Desmond? I mean, last night against Chicago, they've got Chicago's got them on the ropes, and boom, here they come again. I mean, it's been silly. As well as they've played.
They've beaten good teams, too. They're beating good teams. They're not just beating crap. They're beating good teams, too. You know, so I just don't see this roster in the playoffs, especially Garland. You know, I just.
Desmond goes back to the two small guards, doesn't it?
Yeah, but maybe they could trade Garland at the deadline for somebody better. You know, I don't know.
He seems healthy, though. I think he's playing better than – I think he's definitely playing better than he did last year. I think he's playing smarter than he did last year, too.
I hate his game. I know
you don't like his game, but I'm just saying you got to admit that he does look like he's playing a little bit smarter than he did last year.
He had some really good games. He's definitely had some good games. I just think that's the piece you might want to move, you know?
What are you getting back?
Des and guys? I are thinking they need exactly the same thing. What are you thinking, Des? What do they need? Des, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
What do they need? He says. Yeah,
what do you think they need?
A scoring wing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Definitely.
And I also think, Des, they might be able to use a big body guy inside to go along with Evan and Jared.
Well, why don't you trade Jared Allen and Darius for Giannis? Then you might have something, you know?
Well,
there you go. Five first round picks.
Thank you very much. That's an interesting, you know. Giannis is making noise in Milwaukee. That's probably not good for the Bucks. I'm not even going to entertain that one because it intrigues the you know what.
Would that not be amazing? Would that not be amazing?
It intrigues the you know what.
No. It's beyond intrigue. Be
Sam Amico, HoopsWire.com, joining us next as we continue Cavs talk. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.